We have come today to the seventh lesson in the Marriage and Family series, the second version, under which we have preached these series of lessons. And we are looking at an important, not a long lesson, but an important lesson regarding children. Last week, or the last couple of weeks, we focused on parenting, and we noted regarding parents that God's will is for parents to work together, a man and woman work and pray together as godly parents in a scriptural marriage. That is a marriage between a man and a woman, not between woman and woman or man and man. Do what is right, even if your spouse is disobedient to God's word. Many times there are those who are already married to non-Christians, but in spite of the case, they are to continue as much as possible to do what is right, and it will have positive impact, as it did with the grandmother and mother of Timothy. As we see in the New Testament, Timothy, the young evangelist, working closely with the Apostle Paul. Parenting impacts your soul, society, the church, and future generations. And so that is the duty of parenting, going far beyond just the immediate family relationship, has a great impact and is the greatest need for our nation and any nation for parents to lead their children in the way of the Lord. Recognize children are a gift from God for you to train to serve God. That is the purpose God has given you children, that they may follow His word, and that is the goal which parents should seek. Provide life's physical needs, but be thankful with what God has provided for you and not be obsessed with chasing after material things at the cost of spiritually guiding your children. Provide spiritual training that children may love and fear God above all. Lovingly teach and discipline children that they will lovingly obey you. Teach children to obey the government, but never to disobey God, and teach children the value of work and giving, beginning with family. And so these are the things that we touched on that are most important for parents, but today we focus on children. Now, after focusing on the parents, we turn to the role of children that has been perverted also by society. Their role is simple, but important, and extends beyond their childhood when God calls on them to honor their parents, even with financial support if need be. And many, unfortunately, are not taught this duty of honoring father and mother and helping them when they are in need, and that is one of God's fundamental commandments that He has said to be followed. Too often children are not taught, though, obedience to parents, but are left to lead their own selfish lives, catering to whatever desires they would have. Also, even if parents seek to guide their children by the word of God, many elements of society conspire together to brainwash the children and corrupt their thinking and beliefs. These are designed to destroy their relationship with their parents and, most importantly, their relationship with God. And these elements include, but not necessarily are the full list, include government, education, that is mandated by government, social media, Facebook and Instagram and whatever else we have that we get through the cell phone, the laptop and so forth, the computer. And many times their peers, the friends that they have been influenced by these things, contribute to the demise of children, the spiritual demise. So what are the role of children? They are first of all and foremost to obey their parents. Obey their parents, not to be the boss of their parents, but to obey their parents. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3 and verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And when children do not obey their parents, it is disrespect not only to parents, but most importantly to God who has commanded it. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 10, grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. So these are warnings even in Proverbs about listening to reproof and to parents that they do not teach their children in an angry and hostile, inconsistent manner that stirs up wrath instead of engenders loving, humble obedience. Exodus 21 and verse 15, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So strong words in the law of Moses, even speaking evil against father and mother, could bring the death penalty. And striking a parent can bring the death penalty. And we go on and read Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chasten him, when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the people of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. So strong punishment for children who are rebellious openly against their parents and will not heed the rebuke of their parents, even speaking evil against their parents, striking their parents, immoral behavior of the children, and that draws the death penalty, witnessed by the parents, that behavior, stoning to death. We are not under the law of Moses today, but we can see God's attitude toward children that are disobedient to their parents, and it is still a sin against God today that will be punished with eternal torment even though we are not under the law of Moses today with the stoning to death, but it will bear the ultimate punishment of eternal wrath if it is not repented of by those today, whether parents who permissively raise their children and allows them to rule over them, or whether children who rebel against godly parents and do not act in a way pleasing to God, then it will bring the punishment in eternity if not repented of. Jesus is the example of one who obeyed his parents. He stayed behind in Jerusalem when they had come to one of the Jewish feasts, and they left for Nazareth, and they found out he was not with them, and they were greatly distressed, Jesus being about 12 years old. Luke 2 and verse 46, then after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" I had to be in my father's house, that is his heavenly father, the house being the temple in Jerusalem. But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So Jesus demonstrating subjection to his parents, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus setting the perfect example of being in subjection to his parents, and God demands that of children, be obedient to your parents, but never to the point of disobeying God. And this is something that may not can be challenged as much when children are under age, but eventually they will reach that point where they will tell their parents, "I must submit to God rather than men." If they are demanded by their parents to do those things against God, that's what we learn when the apostles were commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus in Jerusalem by the Jewish leaders. Acts 5 and verse 27 through 29, when they had brought them, that is the apostles, they stood them before the council, the Jewish council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Those simple but powerful words, "We must obey God rather than men." So when even children are called upon to disobey God, then they can follow the principle, "We must obey God rather than men." Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." And so, again, when it comes to disobeying God, even children have the duty to say we must obey God rather than men. They may not be able to carry those things out, being under the control of parents at their young age, but eventually they will be able to do that if that is the situation with which they are faced. Children are not only to obey their parents, they are to honor their parents. That would involve also financially supporting their parents when there is need. Ephesians 6 and verse 2 through 2, beginning, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that would include honoring your mother and father. That is told in the Ten Commandments, in the Law of Moses. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now today, God has not given us specific lands, countries, in that particular way, by covenant promise anyway. But if we're going to live a life pleasing to God, then we should honor our parents. It is mandatory. And that includes even financially supporting parents when they are in need, not turning that obligation over to others. But even the Jewish leaders in the days of Jesus did not understand how to honor their parents. And it's one of the reasons they were cast out of the land again, Jerusalem and the surrounding area, because of their disobedience to God and their rejection of the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. Mark 7 and verse 6, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And he's not talking about necessarily precepts regarding worship directly, but he's talking about, in this case, dishonoring your father and your mother and thinking that you can worship God and your worship will be accepted. It is vain. It is empty. He says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Plain words in the Law of Moses, but you say, you Jewish leaders say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. So, in other words, they claim their money was dedicated to God, but that was an excuse for them not to use that money to help their needy parents. It was shameful. It was rebellious against God. It was sinful against the parents. It was upholding their own will instead of the will of God. And it's one of the reasons that they were dismissed and dispersed from the land that they had been allowed to return to. And dishonoring our parents is something that is still displeasing to God today. Paul writes regarding those who are in need among Christians that they are to be honored and cared for, including parents and grandparents. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed. That is, the church are supposed to help those widows who don't have anyone to help them. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. It is honoring your father and your mother. Now, she who is a widow indeed, and who has been left alone, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And we will be punished as unbelievers. Verse 16, if any widow who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. That is, if there are family members who can help family members, then they must do so and not shift the burden to a local congregation. But if that widow is left alone or does not have anybody who is able to help her and has reached the age of 60, and it mentions those qualifications, we did not read them, but then the church can step in, the local congregation from its treasury, and provide continuing support for that widow indeed. But otherwise, it should be the family, children and grandchildren and others who honor that widow who is in need of help. Children are to obey your parents and to honor your parents. That is what the will of God is regarding children. And that is what we need to be following and need to be teaching children so that they may grow up in a way pleasing to the Lord, and that parents will also be accepted by God for the way they are training their children. We're going to stop there at the end of lesson 7 here and look forward to the lesson on preparing for marriage, which will be a two-part lesson we hope to get to next week, God willing. But we're going to pause now, and we're going to encourage all, whatever our condition is, to obey the gospel, become a Christian in the way the scriptures teach, before it is ever too late. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that he died for our sins after living a perfect life, that he came as God in the flesh, that he died for our sins on the cross and was raised from the dead, now seated at the right hand of God in heaven, where he has been reigning as king and priest ever since the first century, for almost 2,000 years. Then we would encourage you to respond, believing that Jesus is God, along with the Father and the Son, that he has been made Lord of heaven and earth, given all authority over all by his Father in heaven, fulfilling all the prophecies which foretold all of these things in the Old Testament, that we can read in Acts chapters 2 and 8, when they believed in Jesus as the Son of God, they repented of their sins, turning to God, grieved over their sins, turning to the mercy of God, confessing their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, that we can read about in Acts 8, verse 32 to the end of the chapter. And they were baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, as we can read in Acts 2, verse 36 through 38. We would encourage all to become a Christian and leave the old life behind, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, repenting of those sins, trusting in God to forgive you through the blood of Jesus. This is how they became Christians, Acts chapters 2 and 8, and this is how we must become Christians today, not by the sinner's prayer, not by infant sprinkling, or any other way, except what we can read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. We would be glad to study with you, answer your questions, talk with you more, pray with you. If you, even by Zoom, if you would contact us by text, phone, or email, whatever is best, we would encourage you to respond, to become a Christian today or whenever you may listen to this lesson. Those who are already Christians, then let us realize we are to abide in the Apostles' teaching, Acts 2, 41, through the end of the chapter. But when we fall short of the will of God and sin as Christians, we are to repent and pray, confessing our sins to the Lord Jesus, to the Father through the Lord Jesus as often as needed, that we might be cleansed by his blood. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1. We can be lost after becoming a Christian, but we must continue to humbly seek to grow in his grace and knowledge and confess and repent of our sins and pray for mercy as often as needed. We would encourage all to respond before it is ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.